إن الحمد لله نحمده سبحانه ونستغفره ونستعينه ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. أما بعد، بعد أن نصلي ونسلم على نبينا محمد، كنا قد وصلنا إلى الآية 39. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. يقول عز وجل، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، يقول جل وعلا: إن ترني أنا أقل منك مالا وولدا فعسى ربي أن يؤتيني خيرا من جنتك ويرسل عليها حسبانا من السماء فتصبح صعيدا زلقا أو يصبح ماؤها غورا فلن تستطيع له طلبا وأحيط بثمره فأصبح يقلب كفيه على ما أنفق فيها وهي خاوية على عروشها ويقول يا ليتني لم أشرك بربي أحدا ولم تكن له فئة ينصرونه من دون الله وما كان منتصرا هنالك الولاية لله الحق هو خير ثوابا وخير عقبا. Can someone kindly read in English verses 39 to 44 and out loud? Yes? Verse 39 to 44 in English. Anyone? Yalla, ya Sheikh.
39. What's better for you to say when you enter your garden?
No, that's... There's still... maybe the end of 38, I guess. إِن تَرَنِي أَنَا أَقَلَّ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَوَلَدًا. If you see me lesser than you in wealth and children.
39?
Yeah, it doesn't say that there? Tabrid, the end of 38. Tabrid, read. Yes. Then continue.
Yeah. It may be that my Lord will give me something better than your garden.
Yes.
And will send all the husband from the sky, then it will be as the barren and slithering earth. 41?
Yes, sir.
All that water below of the gardens becomes thick sandings underground, so that you will never be able to see it.
Yes. Continue until 44, yes.
So his clothes were encircled with shrub, and he remained scrubbing with hands, with soap, over what he had spent upon it, when it was all destroyed on his treasures. And he called only saying, you that I have discovered no partner to my Lord. And he had no group of men to help with a gate of wrath, no body defense himself. 44. There on the day of disruptions, protections, power, authority in kingdoms will be for Allah alone, the true God. The Allah is the best for rewards and the best for the final end. None is the right to be worshipped but Allah.
Jazakallahu khairan. قال الشيخ رحمه الله أي قال للكافر صاحبه المؤمن أنت وإن فقرت علي بكثرة مالك وولدك ورأيتني أقل منك مالا وولدا فإنما عند الله خير وأبقى وما يرجى من خيره وإحسانه أفضل من جميع الدنيا التي يتنافس فيها المتنافسون. The Sheikh said, the kafir, the believing man told the kafir, which is the one who had said his statement about that I don't think that the hour will come, and even if it does come, then Allah will give me something better. He told them, you, even if you boast with the abundance of your wealth and your children, and even if you see me lesser than you in wealth and children, really whatever is with Allah is better and more lasting. And what is sought from Him, from His goodness and kindness, is better than this whole world that the people are competing about. يعني you may have the dunya and you may have two gardens and you may have a lot of money and you may have a lot of children and you may have a lot of homes and cars and blah blah blah. But if you have been deprived from the guidance and from the mercy and the goodness of Allah, then that doesn't equal nothing. Because what?
You must be appreciating.
Huh?
When you should praise Him.
Hey. It's too early in the morning, you see. So, whatever is with Allah is better and more lasting. You may not get the dunya, but the hereafter is what a person should be really striving for. He said, فَعَسَى رَبِّي أَن يُؤْتِيَنِي خَيْرًا مِّن جَنَّتِكَ وَيُرْسِلَ عَلَيْهَا. Ay, perhaps my Lord will give me better than your garden, the one that you have become conceited with, and the one that you're boasting about. And he sends upon it عُزْبَانَ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ, meaning punishment, or an abundance of rain, or something else, whatever it is. Something that will come from the sky. فَتُصْبِحَ بِسَبَبَ ذَلِكَ بِسَبَبِ ذَلِكَ صَعِيدًا زَلَقَ أَيْ قَدْ اطَّلَعَتْ أَشْجَارُهَا وَتَلِفَتْ ثِمَارُهَا وَغَرِقَ زَرْعُهَا وَزَالَ نَفْعُهَا. Or meaning, after this rain or whatever comes upon it, then it will become like the صَعِيدًا زَلَقَ, meaning the trees will be uprooted. And then the fruits will become destroyed, and the vegetation will drown, and the benefit of this whole garden will be taken away. وإنما أو يصبح ماؤها الذي مادتها من غورا أي غائرا في الأرض فلن تستطيع له طلبا أي غائرا لا يستطاع الوصول إليه بالمعاول ولا بغيرها. Or that the water will become somewhere under earth where you are unable to reach it even with the tools. The water will just disappear under the earth and you no longer have access to it, because the water is what's keeping this garden moving and growing and in this condition that it is in, the abundance of water that is around it. طيب. Now the Shaykh said, وَإِنَّمَا دَعَى عَلَى جَنَّتِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِ غَضَبًا لِرَبِّهِ لِكَوْنِهَا غَرَّتُهُ أَتْغَفُ وَاطْمَأَنَّ إِلَيْهَا لَعَلَّهُ يُنِيبُ وَيُرَاجِعُ رُشْدَهُ وَيُبْصِرُ فِي أَمْرِهِ. He said, now what's, يعني, there must be a wisdom behind a believer supplicating against this person's garden, right? He supplicated against it, يعني he asked Allah to destroy it. And you may say, why? Why would the believer do that? Why would he supplicate that this garden be destroyed? The Shaykh said, and the reason why he supplicated against him is because he is angry for Allah. He is angry for Allah because this particular garden has fooled this person and made him transgress, and he became too comfortable with it. So he supplicated against him and against his garden. Perhaps he may return to Allah and he may review himself, and then he may see the reality of his condition. فاستجاب الله دعاءه وأحيط بثمره أي أصابه عذاب أحاط به واستهلكه فلم يبق منه شيء أو فلم يبق منه شيء. والإحاطة بالثمر يستلزم تلف جميع الأشجار وثمارها وزرعه فندم كل الندامة واشتد لذلك أسفه فأصبح يقلب كفيه عليه السلام فأصبح يقلب كفيه على ما أنفق فيها أي على كثرة نفقاته الدنيوية عليها حيث اضمحلت وتلاشت فلم يبق لها عوض. وندم أيضا على شركه وشره ولهذا قال ويقول يا ليتني لم أشرك بربي أحدا. The Shaykh rahimahullah said, Allah accepted the supplication of the brother. The brother, the believer who supplicated against him, he said, perhaps Allah will destroy this garden of yours and the water will disappear and something, some punishment will come upon it from the heavens. And indeed Allah accepted his supplication, and this person's vegetation was encompassed and surrounded with that which destroyed it to such an extent nothing was left behind, nothing remained. وَالْإِحَاطَ and the word إِحَاطَ, which is the word used here in the Quran, being encompassed, indicates that everything that was in it was destroyed, including the trees. Remember, it had palm trees and grapes, and it had the vegetation on the ground. The term إِحَاطَ is a specific term that means being surrounded or encompassed by something. So if the punishment encompassed these two gardens, meaning everything that was outside and inside was destroyed. It's not like it only destroyed the trees and left the grapes and the vegetation on the ground. Rather, everything was destroyed. Everything was destroyed. And this person became extremely regretful. And he became very sad. And he started going like this with his hands on how much he has spent, feeling sorry for himself. How much he had spent on it from the worldly spending. He was working hard and probably cost a lot of money to have these gardens in this fashion. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Aywa. And now it has demolished and diminished. And nothing has been left in order to make up for it. So he also regretted his shirk. He regretted the fact that he had associated partners with Allah, and he regretted the fact that he was evil. This is why he said, I wish I had not associated any partners with my Lord. Right? He wished that he had not done what he had done before. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَلَمْ تَكُنْ لَهُ فِئَةٌ يَنْصُرُونَهُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ وَمَا كَانَ مُنْتَصِرًا. أي لما نزل العذاب بجنته ذهب عنه ما كان يفتخر به من قوله لصاحبه أنا أكثر منك مالا وأعز نفرا. فلم يدفع عنه من هذا العذاب شيئا أشد ما كان إليهم حاجة وما كان بنفسه منتصرا. وكيف ينتصر؟ أن يكون له أنصار على قضاء الله وقدره الذي إذا أمضاه وقدره لو اجتمع أهل السماء والأرض على إزالة شيء منه لم يقدروا. The Shaykh Rahimahullah said, Allah said, and there was no aiders or a group of people to assist him without Allah. And he was not to be aided or given victory. He was not to be victorious. The Shaykh said, when the punishment came upon his garden, everything that he was boasting about is gone. Everything that he was boasting about went away. From his statement to his other brother that I am better than you in wealth and I have more support. Remember, in the beginning he was boasting, I have more people. I got more family members, more relatives, more assistants. Now the situation turned around. These people that he was boasting about earlier, they were not able to oppose and stop the punishment in any shape or form, although he was in much need for them then. Yani this is when your clan, your people, this is when they're supposed to come for your aid. At the crucial time, where your garden is about to be destroyed. But where were they? Where were they? They were not able to help him with nothing. And neither he himself could not be victorious. And the Shaykh said, and how would it be that someone will be able to be aided or be victorious when it comes with the decree of Allah and his destiny? That if Allah decreed, it will go and take place. And even if the people of the heavens and the earth were all to come together to remove only a portion of it, they will not be able to do so. Yani if all the angels and all the children of Adam, tayyib, decided to come together for the assistance of this man, say we will prevent this garden from being destroyed, no one, all of the people on earth, and including the angels and the jinn, they will not be able to prevent not even 0.00001% from what Allah had decreed. Because the decree of Allah cannot be opposed with anything. If Allah says to something, be, then it is. Khalas. No room for discussion, No room for opinions, no room for anyone's power or authority. Right? That's why you see those who were known for being kings and rulers in the previous times. The person who had an abundance of army, plenty of money and wealth, gold and a whole country under his care. When the angel of death came, no one. Huh? You can't tell your army, hey, don't let him in. Don't let him in. You can't pay off. Say, look man, I give you this whole country. Just leave me alone. All these women, take them. Just leave me alone. And no matter what you got, inshallah, you own the whole world. An angel of death comes, khalas. No one can intercede. Grab the angel of death, excuse me, marriage. I'm a righteous person. Leave this brother alone. No way. This is what I'm saying is, the son of Adam is sometimes fooled with his authority and his power, and he forgets who's above him and who dominates and who's the most powerful. So he acts in an ignorant manner and he transgresses against the creation, and he doesn't know that when his time comes, there will be no one to help him and no one can return and oppose the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَلَا يُسْتَبْعَدْ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ وَلُطْفِهِ أَنَّ صَاحِبَ هَذِهِ الْجَنَّةَ التي أحيط هذه الجنة التي أحيط بها تحسنت حاله ورزقه الله الإنابة إليه وراجع رشده وذهب تمرده وطغيانه بدليل أنه أظهر الندم على شركه بربه وأن الله أذهب عنه ما يبغيه وعاقبه في الدنيا وإذا أراد الله بعبد خيرا عجل له العقوبة في الدنيا وفضل الله لا تحيط به الأوهام ولا العقول ولا ينكره إلا ظالم جهول. Listen to this stuff. The Shaykh said, and it is not far-fetched. يعني it is not something that we shouldn't consider. Knowing the mercy of Allah and His gentleness that he may have, that this person of the kafir who had disbelieved in Allah and became oppressive and transgressed with this Jannah, that Allah Azza wa Jal, that his condition may have been, alaykum salam, that his condition may have improved, and that maybe Allah had granted him the repentance. Huh? That Allah granted him repentance and returning to him. And maybe he reviewed himself, and that which was making him transgress has been removed away from him. And the evidence for that, now this is important, ya akhwan. The Shaykh here is saying, knowing the mercy of Allah, it is very possible that this man who had transgressed and had his garden destroyed, that Allah may have granted him repentance. Huh? And granted him from his mercy and allowed him to return to Allah. And the reason why he believes so, the Shaykh, knowing the mercy of Allah with the evidence, is the fact that he showed regret when he said, and I wish I had not associated any partners with my Lord. He regretted the fact that he committed shirk, right? And we know this is the first step in tawbah. The first condition for tawbah, repentance, is regret. And he showed regret. In the verse he showed regret. And that Allah Azza wa Jal took away from him that which was making him transgress. And he punished him for it in the dunya, in this world. And he said, and if Allah wants goodness for a slave of his, he will hasten his punishment in the dunya. He will hasten his punishment in the dunya. He said, and the virtue and the bounty of Allah cannot be encompassed by minds and assumptions. And no one denies the mercy of Allah and his gentleness except an oppressive, ignorant person. So the Shaykh is basically leaning towards the fact that maybe Allah, if Allah intended goodness for him, if Allah did not intend goodness for him, maybe he would have left, he would have remained with his two gardens until he died, while he is in the state of disbelief, while he is in the state of transgression. But maybe it's out of mercy from Allah that he removed away from him that which was making him transgress. And Allah granted him repentance, that he regretted that he had associated partners with Allah, which is an indication that maybe Allah intended goodness for him. That's why he took away from him that which was making him transgress, and he granted him the regret. So possibly he may have repented to Allah and his condition may have improved, and he did not die in the same state that he was described here while he had his gardens. You understand the point? طيب هنالك الولاية لله الحق هو خير ثوابا وخير عقبا. أي في تلك الحال التي أجر الله فيها العقوبة على من طغى وآثر الحياة الدنيا والكرامة لمن آمن وعمل صالحا وشكر لله ودعا غيره لذلك، تبين وتوضح أن الولاية لله الحق، فمن كان مؤمنا به تقيا كان له وليا فأكرمه بأنواع الكرامات ودفع عنه الشرور والمآلات والمثلات، ومن لم يؤمن بربه ويتولاه خسر دينه ودنياه. Allah says, then the wilaya is to Allah in truth. He is better in terms of rewarding and better in terms of the outcome. The Shaykh said, meaning in that condition in which Allah had allowed the punishment to overtake the person who transgressed, and he favored the life of this dunya, and Allah had honored the one who believed and did righteous deeds and was thankful to Allah, and he supplicated to others for the same thing, asking Allah to grant others the same thing. It became clear that the walaya is to Allah Azza wa Jal in truth. And what is intended by that, as the Shaykh will explain, to whomever is a righteous believer, whomever is a pious, righteous believer, then Allah is his wali. Meaning Allah is his assist, the one who assists him, and he takes him as a, befriends him in terms of assistance and supporting him. طيب. And Allah will give him all kinds of honor. He will honor him in all kinds of ways, and he will prevent him from all kinds of evil and punishment. And whomever does not believe in his Lord, and he does not take him as a wali, then he has lost his dunya, his world, and his religion. He lost both, the dunya and the deen. And this is the greatest loss, to lose both. فَثَوَابَهُ الدُّنْيَوِي وَالْأُخْرَوِي خَيْرُ ثَوَابٍ يُرْجَى وَيُؤْمَلٍ. So verily the reward of Allah, whether it is the worldly one or the one that deals with the hereafter, is the best of reward that is sought and that is hoped for. فبهذه القصة العظيمة اعتبار بحال الذي أنعم الله عليه نعما دنيوية فألهته عن آخرته واضغط وعصى الله فيها أن مآلها الانقطاع والإضمحلال، وأنه وإن تمتع بها قليلا فإنه يحرمها طويلا. The Shaykh said, in this great story, the story of the two men, there's a basically the lesson that we learn from the story is to ponder upon the condition of the person whom Allah has bestowed upon him with worldly favors, the one whom Allah bestowed upon with worldly favors, like the people you see with plenty of money and plenty of cars and plenty of homes, but then that particular distracted him from the hereafter. Distracted him from the hereafter and made him transgress. And he disobeyed Allah with it. That the outcome for it inevitably is that it will diminish and it will go away. It will diminish and it will go away. Even if he enjoys it for a short time, but he will be deprived of it for a much longer time. Even if he enjoys it for a temporary time, even if it's his whole life, when you are in the hereafter, you will not be taking this wealth with you. So you'll be deprived of your wealth for a long time, even if you enjoyed it for a short time in this dunya. So we take a lesson from that, from those whom their wealth has caused them to be distracted from the hereafter, and they became too overoccupied with the wealth, and they forgot about Allah and the hereafter, and they were not thankful to Allah with the wealth, rather they disobeyed Allah with the wealth that Allah gave them. وأن العبد ينبغي له إذا أعجبه شيء شيئا إذا أعجبه شيء من ماله أو ولده أن يضيف النعمة إلى مؤموليها ومسديها، وأن يقول ما شاء الله لا قوة إلا بالله، ليكون شاكرا لله متسببا لبقاء نعمته عليه لقوله ولولا إذ دخلت جنتك قلت ما شاء الله لا قوة إلا بالله. He says, and it is upon the servant that if he sees something that pleases him from his own wealth or his own children, it's for each one of us. If you see something that pleases you from your own wealth, your own car, your own home, or even your own children, you may see something that makes you happy. You should refer the ni'mah, you should refer the bounty to the one who bestowed it upon you. And by saying, MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. Whatever Allah wills, there is no strength except that which is with Allah. This is the sunnah, or the what we're supposed to do if we see something that pleases us. So when you see something that makes you happy, don't say, whoa, nice. You say, MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. Whether it's your children or wealth or whatever it is. Na'am. وفيها الإرشاد إلى التسلي عن ال and the reason for that, and this by being thankful to Allah, this will help maintain the bounty for you. It will remain. Because the believer told the disbeliever, had you only entered upon your Jannah and said, MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah, instead of saying what you said. So this where the evidence is. وفيها الإرشاد إلى التسلي عن لذات الدنيا وشهواتها بما عند الله من الخير لقوله إن ترني أنا أقل منك مالا وولدا فعسى ربي أن يؤتيني خيرا من جنتك. And also he's now mentioning some of the benefits that we deduce from the story. Among them is the fact that a person should remind himself about the goodness that Allah has prepared in the hereafter when it comes to the pleasures of this dunya, by remembering that whatever is with Allah is better. Because the believer told the disbeliever, if you see me lesser than you in wealth and children, perhaps my Lord will give me something better than your gardens. Perhaps Allah will give me something better than your garden. So whenever you find that you are not enjoying life too much, and life is being a little difficult for you, and we find that we are not really making the money that we want to make, or we don't have the job that we want to have, or any kind of problem, then we remind ourselves with the goodness that is with Allah in the hereafter, and that this dunya is ma'lish, just a little short trip, and very soon it will end, inshallah, and then we'll be going to the true happiness in the hereafter. Of course, if we are successful today, now while we are alive. Now. وفيها أن المال والولد لا ينفعان إن لم يعنا على طاعة الله كما قال تعالى وما أموالكم ولا أولادكم بالتي تقربكم عندنا زلفى إلا من آمن وعمل صالحا. Also there is a benefit and a wisdom in the story that wealth and children do not benefit a person unless they are means of assistance, unless they assist a person in worshiping Allah. Unless they assist a person in being obedient to Allah. Because you may have children, but they may take you to the fire. And you may have wealth, and that may take you to the fire. And you may have children that will take you to Jannah. And you may have wealth that will also take you to Jannah. Depending on how you utilize it. So you have a lot of money, you go open a bar. You may go somewhere else. Or you go build a masjid. Both have money, but each person utilizes it in a certain way. Or you may have children, and you let your children live an un-Islamic life, very much like that of the disbelievers. And then, as Allah will tell us in the story of Surah Al-Kahf, as we continue in the tafsir, about Musa and Khidr, and when he killed the boy, and the reason why he killed the boy is because Allah knew that this boy was going to make his parents disbelieve because of his transgression. So money and wealth don't benefit unless they are utilized properly. وفيه الدعاء بتلف مال من كان ماله سبب طغيانه أو طغيانه وكفره وخسرانه، خصوصا إن فضل نفسه بسببه على المؤمنين وفخر عليهم. Also in it is the evidence that you may, it is permissible to supplicate for someone's wealth to be destroyed if this wealth of his is the reason for his transgression and his disbelief. طيب؟ It particularly if he starts favoring himself and boasting about himself against the believers. For example, someone might have a lot of money, and because of this money he is oppressing the people, he is transgressing, he is belittling the Muslims and the believers, he is taking away their rights because his money has has filled up his head. It is permissible to supplicate, "Oh Allah, take away his money. Oh Allah, destroy his money." Why? Because his money is the reason why he is becoming oppressive, disbeliever, and he's harming the people with his wealth. Had he not had this money, he would be no one. But with the money, he's causing corruption upon earth. So it is permissible to supplicate against this person's wealth. Of course, you ask Allah to guide him, but you ask Allah to destroy his money. As Musa did with Fir'aun, as Moses did with Fir'aun. He told Allah, "Allah, you gave him wealth in this dunya. Take it away from them." Because Fir'aun had caused major corruption upon earth, Pharaoh. He was killing the people, killing the men, keeping the women as maids and servants. And he called himself the Lord. أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى I am your Lord, the Most High. And he said some crazy things during his life. So it was only fair that Prophet Musa will supplicate against him, that Allah will destroy his wealth and Allah will destroy him. And indeed Allah accepted his supplication. So that's why it comes in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, اتَّقِ دَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ فَأَنَّ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٍ أَوْ حَاجِبٍ Be careful of the supplication of the oppressed one, because really there is no veil between it and Allah. They go straight up, even if he's a non-Muslim. Even if he's a non-Muslim. If a Muslim is oppressing a non-Muslim, and the non-Muslim supplicates to Allah against him because he's oppressed, then there's no then this supplication will be accepted by Allah. Because of the oppression. It's something that is the most haram thing we know. And shirk is the greatest kind of oppression. But all kinds of sin is a kind of oppression. And Allah says in the hadith, "O my servants, I have made oppression haram upon myself. And I have made it haram upon you. I have made it forbidden." And this is from the mercy of Allah. Otherwise, if Allah wanted to be oppressive, no one can prevent him. If Allah wanted to treat his creation with oppression, who could say no? No one. But Allah is just. So He told us, "I have made oppression forbidden upon myself. I will never oppress anyone. And I've also made it forbidden among you. So do not oppress one another." Do not oppress one another. And anyone who carries out jihad in an oppressive form, then he is not doing what he's supposed to be doing. Which is what is known today as the terrorism. And so there's a lot of terrorists. Actually, every non-Muslim is a terrorist. Every non-Muslim with a gun is currently a terrorist, even if they call it otherwise. The bottom line is they are somewhere in someone else's country killing the people over there. In the name of whatever they want to call it, freedom and whatever, we don't buy this stuff. But for Muslims who are oppressive in the way they are dealing with the non-Muslims, then they fall under this particular violation. There should be no oppression. Rather, everything should be done with justice. So, وفيها أن ولاية الله وعدمها أو عدمها إنما تتضح نتيجتها إذا انجلى الغبار وحق الجزاء ووجد العاملون أجرهم فهنالك الولاية لله الحق وخير ثوابا وخير عقبة أي عاقبة ومآلا. And in it also we understand that really for someone to know whether he is supported by Allah or otherwise, this only becomes clear after the dust has been removed. Yani after the vision becomes clear. And then those who have worked will see. Why? Because someone may misunderstand. He comes, he sees this believer, he has two gardens with perfect trees, perfect vegetation, perfect everything. Rivers flowing everywhere. And the other one, he doesn't have nothing. So an ignorant person may say, Allah is happy and pleased with this person, and he's a friend of Allah, because Allah gave him these two gardens. Whereas this person, Allah doesn't love. Look at him, he doesn't have money, he doesn't have children, he doesn't have anything, right? He said, we need to understand that this is not the case. Rather, we only make that claim after the result has become clear. Look at the outcome of the things. The outcome of the things that Allah accepted the supplication of the believer and destroyed the gardens of the disbeliever. So who had the end? Who had the good end? The believer. So don't be fooled by those who have plenty of wealth. And not every time someone has the dunya is an indication that Allah is pleased with them. It may be that Allah is not pleased with them, but Allah gives them the dunya, because in the hereafter they will get nothing. And you may find someone who doesn't have anything of this dunya, nothing from this world. He is poor, barely living. But whatever Allah will give him in the hereafter will make up for all that. So this is how we look at the things, and we look at the outcome of the things, not just at the beginning. Now we move on to verses 45 to 46. وَاضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَاءٍ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَاخْتَلَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ فَأَصْبَحَ هَشِيمًا تَذْرُوهُ الرِّيَاحُ وكان الله على كل شيء مقتدرا المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا والباقيات الصالحات خير عند ربك ثوابا وخير أملا. And strike for them the similitude of this life of this world, like water that we send down from the earth, from the heavens, so it mixes with the vegetation of the earth, and then it becomes hard, and the winds scatter that and takes it away. And verily Allah is able to do all things. The money, the wealth, and the children are the adornment of this life of this world. And the righteous deeds that remain are better with your Lord in terms of reward, and better with your Lord in terms of hope. The Shaykh said, يقول تعالى لنبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم أصلا ولمن قام بوراثته بعده تبعا اضرب للناس مثل الحياة الدنيا ليتصورها حق التصور ويعرف ظاهرها وباطنها فيقيس بينها وبين الدار الباقية وبين الدار الباقية ويؤثر أيهما أولى بالإيثار. The Shaykh said, Allah Azza wa Jal tells and commands his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the asl, yani as the origin, as the asl here. I don't know how to translate this, this is difficult. What is intended is, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being given the command as a initially for being the leader. And then all those who follow him, all those who inherit him in terms of knowledge as followers. So him as a leader, he's been commanded to strike to the people the example of this life, this world. And us Muslims who follow him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the inheritors of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in terms of knowledge, that we follow the same example. This is what is intended. That you shall strike to the people the example of this life of this world, in order for the person to envision it, in order for the person to envision it properly, and that they know the outer layer and the inner one. So they will make a comparison. They will compare between the life of this world with the life of the hereafter. And then they will favor and choose that which is more deserving of being favored. وأن مثل هذه الحياة الدنيا كمثل المطر ينزل على الأرض فيختلط نباتها تنبت من كل زوج بهيج، فبين زهرتها وزخرفها تسر الناظرين وتفرح المتفرجين وتأخذ بعيون الغافلين، إذ أصبحت هشيما تذروه الرياح، فذهب ذلك النبات الناضر والزهر الزاهر والمنظر البهي، فأصبحت الأرض غبراء ترابا قد انحرف عنها النظر وصدف عنها البصر وأوحشت القلب. This is said barely the example of this dunya. This world is like rain. Is the example of the rain that comes upon the earth, that falls down upon the earth, and then it mixes with this, it mixes with its vegetation, and then all this beautiful vegetation grows. Nice plants and flowers and roses winds up growing. And while the person is in the state of enjoying it, now you want to visualize this, ya akhwan, huh? You want to visualize the rain coming from the skies, mixing with the earth, vegetation growing. People are standing there looking at it. It is causing pleasure to the eye, and it's causing happiness to the one who is looking. And it's all these who are heedless are overtaken by it. And you know this, yani, people enjoy looking at, humans enjoy looking at pretty things. Things that look beautiful and nice. And while the people are in this condition, all of a sudden, it becomes hard and dry. This vegetation that was suddenly, that was just a moment ago, nice, fresh, green. And it was pleasing the people looking at it. All of a sudden, it becomes stale and it becomes hard. And then the wind comes and it takes it away, scatters it. So then, this whole beautiful scene is taken, and then the earth remains with nothing but dirt. Nothing but dirt. The vision has turned away from it, and the sight is no longer concerned with it, and the heart is no longer pleased with it. كذلك هذه الدنيا بينما صاحبها قد أعجب بشبابه وفاقع فيها على أقرانه وأترابه وحصل درهمها ودينارها واقتطف من لذته أزهارها وقاض في الشهوات في جميع أوقاته وظن أنه لا يزال في سائر أيامه إذ أصابه الموت أو التلف لماله فذهب عنه سروره وزالت لذته وحبوره واستوحش قلبه من الآلام وفارق شبابه وقوته وماله وفارق شبابه وقوته وماله وانفرد بصالح أو سيء أعماله. He said, the Shaykh said, and such is the dunya, while the person is enjoying it in the state of youth, maybe some of you are old here, but the young person, while he is in the state of, yani he is in the state of the prime of his life, he's still in the beginning of his life, and he has succeeded over his friends, he was more successful than them. And he started gaining, making money, yalla, a lot of riyals in the pocket. And he is seeking the pleasure of this dunya, enjoying himself. And he is dwelling and drowned in his desires and following whatever is pleasing to him all of a sudden, and thinking that he still has a lot of days to live. Many, many days to live still. All of a sudden, death comes upon him, or the destruction of his money. Maybe he loses his whole money, or maybe even worse, death comes upon this person, and all of his pleasure is gone, and his happiness and his being content has been removed, and his heart becomes full with pain because of what he lost. And then he leaves alone his youth and his strength and his wealth, and then he is left alone with only one thing: either his good deeds or his bad deeds. Either his good deeds or his bad deeds. هنالك يعض الظالم على يديه حتى حين يعلم حقيقة ما هو عليه ويتمنى العودة إلى الدنيا لا ليستكمل الشهوات بل ليستدرك ما فرط منه من الغفلات بالتوبة والأعمال الصالحات. The Shaykh said, on that day, the oppressor the transgressor will bite on his hand. Once he knows the reality of this dunya, and he will wish and hope that he will be brought back. Not in order to continue having fun. He wouldn't want to come back to the dunya to continue what he was having from fun. Rather to make up for what he had transgressed and what he had done in his life from his heedlessness by repenting and doing righteous deeds. The Shaykh said, فَالْعَاقِلُ الْحَازِمُ الْمُوَفَّقُ يَعْرُضُ عَلَى نَفْسِي هَذِي الْحَالَةِ وَيَقُولُ لِنَفْسِهِ قَدِّرِي أَنَّكِ قَدْ مُتِّي وَلَا بُدَّ أَن تَمُوتِي فأي الحالين تختارين؟ الاغترار بزخرف هذه الدار والتمتع بها كتمتع الأنعام السارحة أم العمل لدار أكلها دائم وظلها وفيها ما تشتهيه الأنفس وتلذ الأعين؟ فبهذا يعرف توفيق العبد من خذلانه وربحه من خسرانه. This is very important, يا أخوان. Listen to this. The Shaykh said, so the person who is intellectual, who is intelligent, whom his brain functions properly, will measure himself according to this reality, and let him speak to himself. Tell yourself, assume that you're gonna die, and you are going to die, no doubt. Speak to yourself, assume that you're gonna die, and you're going to die, no doubt. Which one of these two conditions would you choose? Favoring the world and following the desires and enjoying yourself and on the expense of disobedience, or would you be obedient and you be patient and you seek the pleasure of Allah? This is going to be, you're dying anyways, and the result is going to be one of these two anyways. So the person with the right mind, he will know, what shall I do? Shall I be fooled by the adornment of this dunya and enjoy it like the cattle, like the animals enjoy it, like a cow? It eats, it defecates, it mates, bas, nothing else, fun, a lot of fun until they slaughter it, then there's no more fun. So shall I enjoy this dunya like the cattle, or shall I work and strive for the home, for the residency, أُكُلُهَا دَائِمْ وَظِلُّهَا, its fruit and its food is everlasting, and so is, and the same is with its shape, yani the Jannah, the paradise. And in it is whatever the soul desires and whatever is pleasing to the eye. He says, really, according to this reality, we could understand whether a person, a slave, has been given the tawfiq, has been given the right guidance from Allah, versus the one who has been who was lost, and the one who has been deprived. If you see someone favoring the dunya and its pleasure over the hereafter, then you can automatically judge that he has not been given from Allah the tawfiq, the right guidance, because he has made the wrong choice. And when you see a person favoring the hereafter over the dunya, then you may as well assume that this person has been given the right guidance from Allah and the tawfiq to choose that which is better. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to not leave one of us here except that we are among those who will choose the hereafter over the dunya. Amen. And with this we will conclude. We are in the middle of the verse actually, but I do not want to elaborate, so I can give you some time before Shaykh Muhammad Subhi comes in. هذا والله على والله تعالى أعلم والحمد لله وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وسلم تسليما كثيرا